You have your Bibles, find again, if you would, the book of Numbers. Let's finish the book of Numbers tonight and continue with what we had this morning. I'm always amazed that after the service, what people hear in a message and what they do not hear in a message. Sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. I appreciate all of you that have been to King's Island and you were spiritually moved today by the beast story. And that's just encouraging. And then I was mentioned that I received most of my news about from young couples in the hallway. You remember about getting ready to have a baby? Lo and behold, if I wasn't standing just 10 feet further than today, another couple walked up to me and said, "We got hallway news." And I said, "Oh no, praise the Lord." Again, we're going to hang a sign, "Don't drink out of those water fountains if you don't want to have a baby in this church if you're married." And so, what a delight. So, a lot of good news today, and what a great day it was in the house of the Lord. Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible, written by Moses. We understand that. We understand that the theme of the book is a book about service. It is the sequel to the book of Leviticus, the same way Exodus is the sequel to the book of Genesis. Genesis has the ruin of man. Exodus has the redemption of man. Go hand in hand. Leviticus talks about communion man can have with God. And then Numbers talks about service that ought to be the natural outflow of communion. So you've got the two books here, the first two coming together, the third and the fourth book coming together. And then next week when we talk about or go into Deuteronomy and look at our motivation for obedience there, you'll see how they all get tied very nice and neatly into one big package. And we said that Numbers was the book that God used to begin to prepare the nation of Israel for war. They're going into Canaan. God's going to give them that land. And God wanted them to follow Him by faith and obey Him and trust Him and serve Him. And He would go before and then He would do the work and provide for them the land. We said that the two best ways to divide the book of Numbers is chapter number 1, verse number 2, and chapter 26, verse number 2. In those two verses, you have two countings, two summations of the people. The first one is intended to know so they could go to battle. The second one really should have never had to happen. But you know that the second one, when it was counted, nobody was alive that was 20 years or older except for Joshua and Caleb in the first count. And so you had a whole generation of people that died in the wilderness. They were not able to go in to the land of Canaan. They missed out on the opportunity to claim their inheritance. And what God had for them, what God would do for them, what God had already accomplished, and all they really had to do was just go forward in faith, they missed out on. Now, you and I, we can look at that and we say, man, that's tragic. That's horrible. How could they be so stupid? I mean, if God said He's going to do this, God's going to do it. And how foolish they were that they did not follow Him and miss out. But if we want to make application to our own lives, sometimes we can step back and look at our lives and knowing that we have the promise of God's book and yet we can act foolishly also. And what God says and God where God guides, we don't follow Him, we don't trust and we don't obey because we get a little bit afraid also. And so you had a whole generation that foolishly forfeited their opportunity. And we talked about how they walked by sight and not by faith. First thing they did was we found in chapter 13 that they begin to doubt God's word. God had promised them. God's promise was all they needed. And yet, they had to go and see for themselves. And we learned in Deuteronomy that it was not God's idea that they go spy out the land. It was their idea. And so the spies go into the land and they don't really learn anything new. They don't learn anything new. Matter of fact, I skipped over this morning, but I'll tell you this. When the spies come back and they give the report, the names of the nations were already mentioned in Genesis chapter 15. We already learned in Exodus chapter 3 that Canaan was a good land. We learned in verses 8 and 17 of that same chapter that it was a land with milk and honey. And so when the spies came back and gave the report, it wasn't anything new that God had already told them. They just went and it was confirmed at what God had already said. But they had to see it with their eyes, and they didn't look at it from the eye of faith. They looked at it from the eye of their own ability, and it terrified them. And sometimes, you know, you're better off not knowing what's out there and just going on God's word. I remember one specific illustration in my life. One of my uncles, God, I believe, may have called this guy to preach. And I remember him packing up his house. He was actually going to move to Florida to be in the ministry and was excited about it and was ready to go. And then we got him all set. And then he began to think. And he began to think, well, how am I going to make it? What am I going to do? And he began to hear some things. And I think that physically, he began to see what was out there and how big of a work this was. And instead of going on God's word, he left. He didn't go. He never went into the ministry. Today, he's lost his wife. He's lost his family. And today, he's in a position that none of us would ever be in. Preacher, I would never, never go that far. Listen, once you and I begin to doubt God's word, you do not know how far that slippery slope will take a person at the beginning of doubt. And so they begin to doubt God's word. And now doubt turned into unbelief. And we talked about how dangerous this unbelief is. Unbelief is really the highway that leads to rebellion against God. If you look at chapter 14, sorry, I'll do my best. I may not be able to go the whole time tonight. 14:9, it says, only rebel not ye against the Lord. So they went and spied the land and forgot about God's promise, saw the problem. Then they begin to doubt about God's ability. They said in verse number 31 of chapter 13 that we be not able to go up against the people. So they saw the bigness there, and they let that doubt turn into unbelief. And then when they were challenged in their unbelief, look at verse chapter 14 and look at verse number 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. This was after the children of Israel said they weren't going to go. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. This is a great statement of faith. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Look at verse number 10. But all the congregation bade stone them, kill them, stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And so their unbelief, when they were confronted with it, brought them to a position of rebellion against God. And so we looked at that and we saw the danger of rebellion. Now, in their rebellion, they made a dumb decision. And we saw that dumb decision in verse number 4 of chapter 14. They said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And so they rejected God's will. By the way, that's what rebellion is. It's a rejection of God's will. And I just want to briefly touch a little bit on God's will, because sometimes if we're not careful, we will think that God's will is strictly geography. It's not geography. It's not your job. When I mention about God's will, I mention about every single practical things in our lives that we run up against. God's will is recorded for us in his word, so we know how to make decisions, so we know how to face things. Please don't be one of these people that thinks that God does not want you to know his will. Sometimes you run into people and they think, well, God doesn't want you to know his will. My question is this. If God doesn't want you to know his will, why'd God give us God's word? Okay? God's word is God's will. Well, Pastor, I just can't know God's will. That's a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. That is inexcusable. That is laziness. That puts me in a position that really evidences unbelief. It evidences rebellion. Well, I just don't know. No, if you'll get in God's Word, God will reveal God's will to you. And so He wants us to know it. Ephesians 5:17 teaches us that He wants us to understand His will. Psalm 40, verse number 8, teaches us that He wants us to delight in His will. I know this. If you walk in God's will, you do delight God's will. And Ephesians chapter 6 teaches us that He wants us to obey His will from the heart. And so they rebelled against God's will. What was God's will? Let's go to war, boys. We're going over here. I'm going to give you this land. No, you're not. It's too big for you. We don't want that fight. I don't think you're going to keep your word. And so they turn and they rebel. Now, tonight, I want to show you what I really believe to be a tragic situation. And I really believe that if we're not careful, some of us will find ourselves in the same position of Numbers 14, verses 11, all the way to the end of the chapter. And it's a position of resigning ourselves to failure, resigning ourselves to destruction. And so pick up with me in verse number 11. After the children of Israel said, we rebel. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Now you got to remember, the children of Israel, they were blessed by God. God not only told them things, God revealed signs unto them to display His wonder. And let me just make some paraphrase here. Shame on me, and sometimes shame on you, and shame on us, when we forget the signs that God has done in our life in the past, and we face another test, and we think, well, God, you can't meet this one, when God met in the past, and God met in the past, and God did this, and God did this, and God did this. And it seems like in our frugalness and in our humanity, the next time we come to a difficult thing, we forget all what God did for us in the past, and now we're just scared out of our mind in the future. I hope and pray that you understand and take note and witness and rejoice in the things God has done for you in the past. Keep going, verse number 12. Here's how angry God is with them. God says, I'll smite them with pestilence and disinherit them strong, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. All right? He said, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to get rid of them all. I'm going to disinherit them all. I'm going to start over with you, Moses. And Moses said unto the Lord, no, you're not. He said in verse 13, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest us up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able. See, they would put the blame on the Lord. God wanted to get glory through the nation of Israel, not blame, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which He sware unto them. Therefore, He has slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I love that word, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And God's people said, amen. But God says, I'm sick of this. I mean, I show them all this sign. I've done all these things for them. How long are they going to be rebellious? And they angered God. And God said, I'm going to come down here, and I'm going to do away with them all, and I'm going to start over. And Moses got in God's face, and Moses said, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. You know why you're not going to do it? Because you already gave your word you wouldn't do it. You said you would bring this people into that land. And if you don't do it, then the people all around the world are going to say that you were not able, but you gave your word. And Moses got in God's face and interceded with God to say, Pastor, that's pretty arrogant and pretty bold. We'll go to verse number 20 and look at God's response. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All right, I want to stop right there and make some application. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God pardons our sin. Amen? And there are times in my life when I have doubted God's word and been in a position of unbelief. And there are times that that unbelief has even brought me to the position of rebellion. And there really are times where God should have disinherited me, but God cannot disinherit me because God said he would never forsake me, never leave me. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and in his long suffering and in his mercy, if I will go to God and ask God to forgive me, God will cleanse me of my sin and restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I love God for that in my life. All right? So here we are in our own lives sometimes. God's done all this for us, and we turn a blind eye, and we still go in our rebellion. And really, truthfully, when he should get rid of us, he doesn't get rid of us, and he's willing to restore us, and he's willing to use us. Pastor, I just want to quit. I just want to quit. I don't think I want to go and be used anymore. I don't deserve it. God could find somebody better than me. The cost is too great. Just let me be. Just let me not have to do that. God, go over there and use Pastor Hunter. Or God, go over there and use somebody else. But just let me be. Now here's my whole message tonight. If I'm getting further, we can go home. Be careful what you tell God in a position of doubt and unbelief and rebellion. You better be very careful. Because God hears everything we say. Do you believe God hears everything we say? Hey, well, Pastor, I was just mad when I said that. Well, let me show you what happened to the nation of Israel. Here's where they are. And here's where I think some of God's people are. And I think this will open our eyes to maybe statements we made in the past where we can now see where we are. Go back to chapter 14 and look at verse number 2. And all, excuse me, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? All right, now that's their position. Now, come over here to verse number 22. He says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. All right, so there God says, all right, you've missed your opportunity. You're not going to see the land. You've rebelled against me, and this is that consequence. Verse 24, he talks about Caleb, and in verse number 30, about Joshua. There's a different spirit in these men. Pick up with verse number 25. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow, turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. All right, and so he turns them. Now they begin their march in the wilderness. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, don't miss these next couple of verses. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have, what's the word, church? Heard, verse 27, the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Now, I don't know about you, but that thought terrifies me to think that God hears my murmuring against him. Well, I may not ever vocalize it, but God knows my heart and my thoughts. Look at verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have, what's the word? Spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Oh boy. That is a direct reference to verse number 2. Would to God we had died in this wilderness. Come back to verse number 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which ye have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you make you dwell therein. All right, in their doubt, in their unbelief, in their rebellion, they said, just let us die, God. Just let us die. God said, if you're not going to believe me and you're not going to obey me, then I'm going to let you have what you want. And so you want to die? Then you're going to die in that wilderness. And God said, but I'm going to get glory. Now listen to me, church. Here's my application. I think if we're not careful sometimes in those positions, we just resign ourselves. God, just let me die. Let me go off the scene. Use somebody else. Don't put me through this. I quit. I give up. God says, okay, if that's what you want, this is all I had for you over here. This was it. I mean, this was your inheritance. These were all the blessings. But if you don't want to follow me by faith, then I'll let you have what you want. Here you go. And so some of God's people, it's been years since they've ever been used. It's been years since they've ever seen God's power. They've been over here and just left aside. It's been years since they've ever known the precious walk with the Lord. And God just basically let them have what they wanted. But look at verse number 31. But God will get glory. And if God can't use you, then God will use somebody else. Verse 31 says this. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey. Again, go over to verse number 3. They said that our wives and our children should be a prey. God said, I heard you say that. You said that I couldn't protect your little ones, that they'd be ravaged in this wilderness. I'm telling you, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. God said, listen, if you don't want me to use you and you don't want what I have for you, fine. I'll give you what you want. But I'm going to take your little children, that which you said I couldn't do, and I'm going to prove myself in them, and they're going to go forward and get the victory. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, it all just begins with doubting God's word, a little bit of unbelief, rushes us to rebellion. Oh, God, just forget it. And God says, okay, if you won't follow me by faith, I'm just going to forget it. And then God takes and uses somebody else to accomplish God's will. I don't know about you, but I want to be used by God. If that's you, say amen. I do, and I don't want to be left by that. Look how far they take it, and I'll close here. God comes down, and God tells them, listen, you're going to die in this wilderness because you want to. Come over to verse number 40. Bible says, and they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. They're saying, okay, we're going to go now. We're going to go up into the wilderness. We're going to go fight. We're going to go into Canaan. Verse 41, and Moses said, whoa, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord's not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you'll fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. All right, here's our final application. When it was confronted to them that God was going to let them have what they wanted, and the word came to them, they got afraid and they got regretful, but they didn't repent. And so in their regret, they said, oh my goodness gracious, we've messed up. We better get over here where we're supposed to be and go over here and fight. And so in their body and in their in the outward, they went over here to war, but they went without their heart. They never repented of their sin. And so they tried to go in the flesh and fight in the spirit-filled life. And when they went over there, they got killed. The Amalekites and the Canaanites destroyed them. The application for us is this. Some of us, we need to go back to that time of doubt, that time of unbelief, and that time of rebellion. And we need to remember what we said to God. And we can't just go forward and act like everything's okay. We can't just all of a sudden be a good husband, be a good church member, be a good wife, be this, and just think that God didn't hear me in my murmur and my complaining. And so sometimes we just go forward and sweep it under the rug, and we get out here into Canaan, and we're getting our lunch eaten, and we're getting eaten alive, and we wonder why we don't have any authority or no power or no victory or no miracles. But we need to go over here and understand what true repentance is and not what true regret is. And so my challenge to us today from the whole book of Numbers is that the book of Numbers is a book about service. It's about faith. It's about there's no substitute for God's promises. Faith is simply obeying God in spite of how we feel, what we see, or what we think might happen. When God's people trust and obey, the Lord delights in doing wonders for them. Do you believe we have a wonderful God? Say amen. All right. But those wonders will only be displayed if we go by faith, not if we want to go by in fear and in our time. That is the book of Numbers. And praise the Lord, the second group, they did get into to the land of Canaan. They did experience God's victory, and they did see the mighty hand of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, my prayer for my own life is that I would follow you, God, by faith. Serve you, God. God, that I would know what it is to rest upon your promise, the wonderful promises of your word, promises that are tied to your great character. The old devil would love to get me to begin to doubt, let unbelief get in there, and then rebellion. Then I'm in a position, God, where I face your judgment. Then I'm in a position, God, where all of a sudden I lose my perspective and I make dumb decisions and I say dumb things and you hear them. And then, God, if I don't repent of that and I just continue, then you just let me have my own way. There is no greater danger to us than to have our own way. The wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth said, "Lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. For he shall direct thy paths." And so, God, my prayer is that we would be people who would acknowledge it, shun our own ways, direct ourselves into your thoughts and into your ways. And God, that we would allow you to lead us into those great, great blessings that you have for us. There may be somebody here tonight, God, that needs to go back. They need to go back to that rebellious time, that time of unbelief, when they in their breath cussed you, when they in their thoughts stood against you, when they made a decision that said, use somebody else, but don't use me. And God, they may need to go back to that time, fall on their face, ask you to forgive them. And God, they may need to repent so they could go forward in victory. You're not willing to just totally be done with us. If we'll repent, you'll restore us. These people wouldn't repent. So God, maybe that would be our prayer. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't normally do this, but I just want to feel led to do it tonight. Pastor, oh man, God just let me see it. There was a time in my life when in my doubt and in my unbelief and in my rebellion, I was like those children. I said, it's over. It's done. And I remember telling God, go away. Use somebody else. Too hard. Don't use me. Pastor, now I look back on that day and God's convicted me and I've regretted it and I've tried to go forward, but I'm getting killed. What I need to do is repent and ask God to forgive me and go by faith. Don't embarrass me. Don't open the invitation. Don't call me forward. But Pastor, I need to ask God's forgiveness for doubt and disbelief. God's revealed it to me, and I'm suffering the consequences, and I want you to pray for me. If that's you, if you lift your hand, I just pray for you tonight with the music. God bless you, sir. Somebody else. God bless you down front. Somebody else. Pastor, that's me. I did that. I need to repent of that. Anyone else? Quickly. God bless you. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. These are good people. Godly people, wonderful people. One of the greatest privileges of my life is to be their pastor. But God, I want us to be people that go by faith, serving our great God. Those that are asking repentance or forgiveness and repenting right now, grant it to them, God. And God, lead them in your perfect way. I love you for that. Thank you for being long-suffering, merciful, gracious and wonderful to us. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.